Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Something's
happening to me. My friends say I'm acting peculiar. A little bit of Fleetwood Mac bringing us back there. 17 till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. We built it just for you. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Our stuff. And if you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between, we got something you can read or listen to while you're there. And if you're on Twitter, follow me. I'm at Jim Blasingame. We're having a great visit with my good friend and yours too, whether you know it or not, Paul Sarvati, who's chairman, founder, CEO also of Administaff. I'm broadcasting for the sixth consecutive year. Every year they've had the Administaff Small Business Classic. I've been right here broadcasting, and Paul has been my host. And by the way, the website for the golf tournament is AdministaffClassic.com. Paul, talk to us about the economy. My audience, I know they're anxious to hear your thoughts. You're running a publicly traded company. You still run it like a small business, which I admire an awful lot. I see that. The gleam in the eyes of your employees that I know, and I know, as you know, I know a bunch of them. So many of them are become dear friends of mine. But the gleam in their eyes are not the gleam that I see in people who work for other publicly traded companies. I only see that gleam when I see a small business attitude, and they have it.
Well, they have it because we really care about our small business customers, and, you know, our whole mission is to help small businesses succeed, you know, making life better for employees and their families. So we believe it, and yeah, we live it every day.
So you're out there because of with your business, serving small businesses, because those are your customers, people just like me and just like the people listening in our audience. You're out there every day. You've got your eye on the big business dimension because you're publicly traded, but you're uniquely qualified to give my audience a good picture, macro and micro, of what you think about the economy.
Well, you know, especially in the small business community, underreported in the economic numbers severely. And in our particular case, since we're an HR department for small business, we have hard live data that comes out of our system on employment, new hires, because we enroll everybody, or layoffs. We process termination. So we know everything about the wages, what, you know, which jobs, you know, people got last month and how much they got paid and how much overtime there is as a percentage of pay, what the commissions are that are being paid at the client location, which is very critical to, you know, give you the idea of the pipeline for their new business. So we do have some good visibility, and every quarter I couple that real data from the most recent period, I couple that with information, because, you know, it's not always true that that business owners are not necessarily, you know, they may be thinking ahead. They're doing one thinking about what's coming. So you have to kind of marry those two up just to get the full picture.
Well, what do you think? I've been telling my audience that the recession technically, the recovery technically has started. It doesn't feel like that to a lot of people, but the trend, even though some trends may be going in the wrong direction, they're up in that direction. We don't like the numbers, but we probably ought to start liking the trend. And I'm also telling them that the recovery we're going to have, and before we feel like, you know, happy days are here again, it's going to be more of a marathon. What do you think?
Well, I do see that there are many things that would describe as bouncing along a bottom. You know, so there wants to be a lift, but there's not a lift in a lot of ways. But I got to tell you, a tremendous amount of opportunity. I know it's intuitive to think that in a downtime, there's a lot of opportunities that come and that come up, but you really have to go against the flow and against the grain to take advantage of those opportunities.
That's where the opportunities are, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And the people who are going, and see, I've been saying for a long time that where we're going from here forward is going to look a lot different from where we've been. You agree with that?
Oh, I do. I think there'll be a new normal.
Exactly.
From what was.
And so, therefore, we can't be looking for the same opportunities we've always looked for. We've got to start looking for opportunities that look a little different.
I think so. I think, you know, the way I see it right now, it's like for all the right reasons, business owners are kind of in the foxhole. But I would say in the last couple months, they've kind of put their helmet on a stick and stuck it up there to see if it gets shot off or not. And nothing's happened yet.
They're not taking too much fire right now, are they?
Exactly. But it is okay to get out of there right now. And, in fact, first one out will make the biggest advance.
I agree. One of the things that we have a little control over, maybe a little bit, but not as much as we'd like to have, we've got more control over our own behavior, but we don't have as much control over government policies. And I've read enough history, and I've covered it enough on this show with experts who know it more than I do. One of the reasons why the Great Depression was great and not just another depression was because of government policies. How concerned are you that we may have that same sin? Not a Great Depression thing. You and I, neither one are predicting that, I don't think. But from a standpoint of the government doing more harm than good, what do you think?
I'm very concerned about it, and I'll tell you exactly why. In the most recent survey information, we asked small business leaders, looking beyond what were their biggest concerns. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you would think, of course, the economy, it's on everybody's mind, but the economy was actually fourth on the list. The number one on the list was the national debt and the federal deficit year in and out. Mm-hmm. Number two was taxes and where they're going to go.
Right.
And number three was government's intervention into business and what that means. Because what happens is when government makes uncertainty.
Paul, hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought. We're coming up on a hard break, and I was so entrenched in what you were saying. We'll take a quick break, folks. Paul Sarvati, I'm going to let him finish that thought, I promise you, right after these messages. Tintail, stay with us. And you ain't had I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from the Administow Small Business Classic here in Woodlands, Texas. My host and the founder and chairman of and CEO of Administow is in front of me, and he's also the guy who helped create and got his people to create the Administow Business Classic. We're sitting here talking about some of the things that are going on out in the marketplace with our small businesses, and he's has a small business mentality, has been small business owners all the time now in his role in Administow. Paul, you were telling us about the economy. I had to stop you for the break. We were talking about some of the dangers that we could have because of government policies. You and I and all small business owners out there, we could work ourselves to death and we could do all the things that need to be done to get this economy going again, and the government could literally make that null and void, can't they?
They really can, and don't. If they just talk about it a lot, there's enough fear in it, there's enough uncertainty in it, that it can have an immediate and severe effect. Absolutely.
Yeah, demoralizing people.
It is.
There's no question about it. One of the big deals right now is healthcare. Now, and there's so many things, and I want you to come back another day and talk about regulations and those things, but there's the healthcare reform. That was voted out of committee this week.
It was.
Almost along party lines. One Republican, Senator, who's not really, she's kind of not really a real Republican, and I've said that many times on the show before. I predicted she would do that, by the way, but it was voted out of the Baucus bill. Now, it's going to go to committee between the House and the Senate now, right?
Well, right now they have to consolidate three bills into one,
and then
they
vote.
Have to do the same thing in the House to consolidate the two over there into one. Then if those both get passed by each House, then they'll go to...
Isn't it interesting, though, that the most conservative one, which is the Baucus bill in the Senate, is the only one they're really talking about? We don't know much about those other two bills, do we?
Well, we don't really know that much about the Baucus bill either, because evidently, as it was passed the other day, it wasn't fully written yet, which is kind of interesting. We've been talking about read the bill. Well, how about write the bill? Be good to write it so it can be read. But it was passed very much in concept, which, you know, I'm not sure where our process has allowed for such a thing to happen, but it has. And, you know, people are, when you hear and really look at what they're talking about, you know, we think health care reform is what, you know, do we need it? Do we want it? Well, what people really want is they want the cost to come down.
And good value for
the But there's nothing in this bill that addresses the cost of health care. In fact, the first thing that happens is if you have a good plan today, there'll be a 40% tax on that plan.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing that happens is a 40% increase in health care cost. How can that be health care reform?
How many worksite employees are part of the customer base that you have?
We have about 110,000
or so. 110,000 families
right.
that receive health care. What if this bill passes in some form? We know it's not going to be what you and I want. We know it's going to be out there. It's going to be moving us toward universal health care, government single payer. If this passes in some form, it's not just atrocious. Even that, what will that do to those 110 families?
Well,
110,000 families.
I think you know what it will do. The way this is shaping. Is it's basically another form of redistribution of wealth, which we're seeing on a lot of different fronts.
Guise of other reforms, it's really just redistribution of wealth.
It is, and that's the underlying message here, which, you know, we have to decide who we are at our core. Are we an exceptional nation where individuals, because of the liberty that they have as an individual, can exercise their faith and their take their talents, their skills, and work hard and do well and lift the boats? Or are we a nation where what we want to do is reduce ourselves to the lowest common denominator, which is what other countries have done?
So what you basically said, and I think and I like the way you said it, but if I had to write a headline for that article that you just said, is do you yourself, or do you believe in the government?
That's kind of
that
what it comes down
what it comes
to.
Down to right now.
You know, and government's role by design in our nation is to be a limited government. If you go back to what our founding fathers wrote, and if you've ever read the Federalist Papers, there's the thinking behind what they did. And what they said, you know, government works best closest to the person.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, to have a federal government that's going to make these decisions, you get what we have today.
Yeah.
You know, don't make much sense out there on Main Street.
Paul, I want to get you back because you got a lot more to tell us. I hope you come back another day. Thank you for hosting us here. We've had a great time. Thank you for all you do for small business.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be here. Good to have you here, too.
Thank you. Paul Sarvati, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go. I got to wrap it up for this hour. I'll be back tomorrow broadcasting live from the Administaff Small Business Classic.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.